Hi, I'm Shelley Kapoor Collins, and I'm a partner with Sway Ventures, and I'm also the founding general partner of Shatter Fund. And you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing.
Yeah. My name is Abhay Dandekar, and I share conversations with talented and interesting individuals linked to the global Indian and South Asian community. It's informal and informative, adding insights to our evolving cultural expressions, where each person can proudly say, trust me, I know what I'm doing. Hi, everyone. On this episode of Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing, a conversation with venture capitalist and entrepreneur, Shelley Kapoor Collins. Stay tuned. You know, once again, thank you for listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing and sharing it with your friends and family and for following us on social media. And if you're enjoying it, please take a moment to submit a rating and a review as it's very, very much appreciated. So, okay, I've been thinking a lot about these two questions. How does it feel to break through a barrier? And what structures need to be in place in order to actually break through that barrier? People are finding new ways all the time to disrupt existing models, and often from a messy mixture of ideas and risk and capital are born some of the most elegant and exciting innovations that give us profound breakthroughs. But those breakthroughs can't actually be sustained or even happen in the first place without rooted structures and policies that allow for that messy mixture to even be possible. And for women entrepreneurs now, particularly in tech and science, are the structures and policies in place to help bring more women into positions of economic power and long-term success? This is a question that Shelley Kapoor Collins is actually asking every single day. Shelley's a venture capitalist working and executing change at the intersection of tech, innovation, and policy, focusing on investing in early-stage companies led and founded by female entrepreneurs. She's a partner at Sway Ventures and has built her career around meaningful experiences in Silicon Valley, with over 10 years of work at Oracle, and founding and running her own companies. Her leadership in both the private and public sectors have been superb, especially in the political and civic engagement arena, serving as a tech advisor to the Obama 2012 campaign and to numerous efforts led by Hillary Clinton, Kamala Harris, and Gavin Newsom. Informed by this work as a founder, investor, and advisor, Shelley launched the Shatter Fund in 2017 to have a more significant impact on the emerging market of female entrepreneurs and to enable female founders to become 100% participants in the innovation economy. She's a huge advocate for STEM education and pipeline development and started the Shatter Foundation to benefit underserved girls by providing them educational tools, grants, and mentorship. And this past year, Shelley partnered with the U.S.-India Alliance for Women's Empowerment to organize a Shatter Summit at the U.S. State Department as a forum for government and private sector leaders to spotlight the critical need to economically empower women and girls in India. So we caught up recently to chat about how she's helping more women and girls to break through, about her own journey through it all and some of the lessons learned. And thankfully, we were both able to meet in person in Maryland, where she grew up after having spent a long time in California. It's fun to be in Maryland, just hanging with you more than anything else.
Seriously, who thought we would be doing this?
That's right. Yeah, that is right. In a way, because you have so many roots and ties here,
yeah. It
must be sort of nice to create a sense of both professional community and in some place just home, mm-hmm. sort of right here as a kind of Maryland Terrapin, right?
It is, actually. Yeah. It's really cool to kind of, I have this feeling that everyone always goes home eventually.
Yeah.
So it was nice to come back home during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Of all things, we made a pandemic move from California to here and just kind of kept going. So it is nice to be back.
Do you think that, you know, in some ways for you, is it sort of like home is, you know, I wouldn't say home is where the heart is, but rather heart is where the home is.
They both apply.
They both apply, yeah. And is this where you grew up, by the way?
I grew up in Columbia, Maryland.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is nice to sort of like return in
yes,
that way.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah? Absolutely.
Let me ask you this. You're sort of at the nerve center here of politics and policy and impact and in a way in an entrepreneurial world of chutes and ladders.
Yeah.
Why then is it so hard to find healthy and plentiful ladders and sustainable ladders for women?
That's a big question.
Yeah.
And I think there are, you know, ladders across different facets of a woman's life, right? And whether it's her personal life or her career or her entrepreneurial journey, what I've chosen to do is, you know, focus on the educational and the funding aspect for women, right? Yeah. Because, you know, we're more than 50% of the population, yet we're not 100% participants in the innovation economy, and that makes zero sense.
Yeah.
And so when you look at it, there's a direct link between diversity and innovation, which leads to greater returns for investors.
Yeah.
And yet we're not making those funding opportunities available. So from that standpoint and that ladder, I think, you know, it's VC funding has always been insular.
Yeah.
And now I believe that the world is starting to open up and change. Take me, for example, my own path is so nonlinear into
yeah.
VC.
Sure.
And yet here we are. But the overarching umbrella is STEM.
Yeah.
STEM education and technology, which eventually leads to entrepreneurship.
When did you first sort of figure out that that critical, you know, linkage was something that was vital for you to even just like recognize?
Yeah.
In the first place to say, hey, these are going to be the accelerators to making this work sort of go.
So it's interesting growing up in an Indian family,
yeah.
right? So STEM, math at the age of five, I mean, that was like number one core.
Right.
You know, my mom, I'll never forget, she's doing multiplication tables with me. I was the only kid in kindergarten who knew what 8 times 2 was.
That's right.
It was fun. Yeah. It was really fun. So
at every moment, your times tables are coming out.
Every second, and yeah. I would raise my hand, and the yeah. teacher wouldn't call on me because she knew
yeah.
I knew the answer.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
she wanted
right.
other people to know. But I would say that somewhere in, you know, along my career,
yeah.
Starting out as a programmer, spending 10 years at Oracle, you know, I just realized that it's really critical for women to have that education.
Yeah. You know, in thinking about the sort of shoots and ladders concept and the idea of those sustainable ladders, is there a different empathy that's required, particularly to support and sustain those ladders now that we are really sort of, you know, coming into this space? And in some ways, like this work is maturing more and more. Has your sense of empathy for, you know, what is required to really make this work grow and develop and mature so that it can scale? Has that sense of empathy in many ways kind of grown and become an iterative practice for you? Just like the same way it would for me in seeing patients.
Yeah, I think that's such an amazing question. And it's also very relevant to where I am now with Shatter.
Yeah.
And so essentially when I started my fund, you know, so technical background, programmer, angel investing, advising women over the course of 20 years. But I launched Shatter in 2017.
Yeah.
It's the first generation of a fund for women, right? So really it was all about that nascent getting capital and getting it into the hands of female entrepreneurs that match your thesis. Now, looking back 2017 to here we are in 2023, I really didn't have many people guiding me at that time, right? So I didn't really have more than Google kind of showing me what to do and not to do. And so it was
right.
a lot of pounding the pavement.
Yeah.
And it was really hard.
Yeah.
So in terms of the iterative process and question that you're asking, now, you know, I thought about it and, you know, I'm a partner of Sway Ventures mm-hmm. where I lead our retail tech fund. I'm, you know, heading up our, you know, focus on DEI at Sway. My partners are fantastic, but I've got Shatter.
Yeah.
And so I really thought long and hard about how do I now use that
yeah.
to help women and lead with empathy, like
yeah.
you're saying. And really what it's come down to is I want to be the person I needed back in 2016 yeah. or 17.
Yeah.
So with that, I'm now helping women launch funds
right.
on the Shatter platform.
You know, in a world where mentorship isn't always available, or for that matter,
yeah.
that there isn't a blueprint for stuff like this.
Right.
Has it become that much easier now for you to, again, I love how you put that, sort of imagining who you wanted to be for yourself 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Have you found that there's a, you know, still a big gap for that?
Massive gap.
Yeah.
I believe that people feel like they need to do things in silos.
Yeah.
Everyone's trying to solve the same problem. They think they're doing it differently, but really they're not.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of power in coming together to
yeah.
solve those issues. And that's what Shatter has become. It's a platform for women allocators
yeah.
and for entrepreneurs.
I want to think about like sort of the complex Venn diagram that's associated with sort of our world, right? We were just talking about our children. And
yeah.
in that kind of complex Venn diagram with so many dots to actually connect, in essence, what has, you know, being a mom taught you in this space about being a leader?
That's a really great question. You know, they all blend together.
Yeah.
Right. And we were talking about this also. It's all one big ball of wax.
Right.
Right. You know, raising your kids, you know, of course I've pushed them, encouraged them to go towards STEM.
Yeah.
Of course, no one's listening. they want to do what they want to do.
Yeah.
But I think somewhere it's resonating. And, you know, that empathy that you want to have as a mom, which can be difficult sometimes as an Indian mom and how we're raised.
That's right.
And so just having that and practicing that empathy now with my kids is really, really important.
It's funny. A friend of mine who I actually was just visiting with, we were talking about, because at this age, we're all, I'm not anymore, but I can imagine that you're sort of squirrely in the chauffeuring years. And, you know, those commute conversations are always so like critical,
yes.
right?
Yes, except now they have AirPods and they put in and say, you know what, I'm going to put my AirPods in.
You might have to broadcast the conversation so that they'll exclusively get those. But it sounds like, I mean, in some ways, like those conversations, they are so woven into that ball of wax. So you can almost like in some ways transpose what those conversations are like for now younger emerging leaders too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, you know, it's funny because, you know, I jokingly said they're not listening, but our daughter wants to be a lawyer.
Yeah.
Right. And so she's already gone and gotten herself an internship.
Yeah.
And she's only 16. So, you know, somewhere they're taking those steps of leadership.
Yeah.
And they're applying them to their school. So that's really nice that they're listening.
Do you think that it's made you, I was just going to say, do you think it's made, you know, that osmotic kind of understanding and that development that your daughter is going through, has this experience as a mom and as a leader actually made you a better listener?
Yes, over time.
Yeah.
Not always, right? Not always. But I, you know, now I understand like, hey, look, I don't have all the answers, but I'm willing to roll up my sleeves and figure it out with you, whoever that is.
Sure. You know, just thinking a little bit about the kind of experience growing up and as an Indian American, but, you know, I'm always curious, I ask this a lot of folks, when do you first remember knowing or recognizing that you were an Indian American?
Oh, that's a really good question. You know, it's interesting. My parents tell me this. So they migrated to the U.S. I was two when we came over. My brother was born in this country. And my mom said that when we were at some beach and I saw, I guess, you know, a fellow, you know, Indian, a Sikh Indian, he had a turban. And she said that I pointed at him and said, look, you know, he's Indian. So I don't have a memory of that.
Right.
But she clearly does. But I didn't really feel any different, I guess, growing up.
Yeah. You know, are there ways other than our names that it kind of integrates for you into your, you know, whether that's your personal life, obviously, or your professional work? Do you feel like you're an Indian American investor, an Indian American entrepreneur, or an Indian American, you know, leader?
That's a really great question. Again, good ones. You know, it's a complicated question when you've been raised in the U.S.
Right.
Right. And growing up, you know, you always know that, you know, there are things that are different.
Yeah.
Right. That's at home versus, you know, what's going on in school.
Yeah.
Although my parents really worked hard to assimilate.
Yeah.
And speaking of names, you know, my legal name is Shalini and my closest friends call me Shalini.
Yeah.
The ones who know how to pronounce it, the ones who know how to say it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but when I was in the third grade, my best friend was Kelly. And so she started calling me Shelly. And so that stuck.
Right? Yeah.
So really, really cool. It's a really neat thing. Yeah, I don't know. I think I identify definitely as American, but I'm very proud of my Indian heritage. So Indian American for sure.
If your business partners started calling you Shalini, would that make you think differently at all?
I would love it if they did. And some of them try.
Yeah.
And some of them try. And honestly, I'm probably too lazy to make it happen, to make them focus on it. I'm sure they would. They're very respectful.
Always an ease and comfort. But you're right. It always, you know, hopefully and thankfully comes from a place of respect.
Absolutely.
You're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. After a quick break, we'll come back to our conversation with Shelly Kapoor Collins. Stay tuned. Conversation. It's the antidote to apathy and the catalyst for relationships. I'm Abhay Dandekar, and I share conversations with global Indians and South Asians so everyone can say, trust me, I know what I'm doing. New episodes weekly, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hey, this is Cal Penn. I'm an actor, author, former public servant, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing.
Welcome back to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. Let's rejoin our conversation now with Shelley Kapoor Collins.
And speaking of which, I mean, for you, did you always, from a younger age, or was this something that sort of like developed over time, or perhaps even came later, did you always have sort of an entrepreneurial spirit, or, you know, the type of ethos personally that was, you know, driving you in that direction?
So that's interesting also. I did. Yeah. It never made sense to me to work for someone else and to have a job. My sense has always been, you can always go get a job.
Sure.
Right. Especially when we're educated, you know, that's the one thing. You know, you're raised in an Indian family and your parents will tell you, get an education because no one can take that away.
Yeah,
so having done that, I grew up in a family, my dad's an engineer, but very entrepreneurial.
Yeah.
And always in business, always doing something. And my mom is the same. So it just kind of really resonates with me.
Sort of your sense of self-determination is kind of like, that's your true north.
It really is. Yeah. It is. There's a lot of grit. You know, when I see someone succeeding, I feel happy for them.
Yeah.
And I always feel like, you know, I'm so happy that they have found what they love. But what's my passion? And my passion is entrepreneurship.
Yeah. Do you oftentimes see kind of like, do you seek out others who are also with that same entrepreneurial spirit? Or is it more of a like, hey, I have lots of things to learn from even those who don't have that spirit?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's all about shared values and common interests.
Yeah.
And, you know, I kind of, you know, go towards people that I have something in common with. So whether they're entrepreneurs or they're in business or they're physicians, I think it really comes down to values.
You've clearly worked with people who have some amazing shared values and, you know, have shared a lot with some terrific leaders and role models. And I'm incredibly curious to know what you learned about yourself in working with women like Hillary Clinton or Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
And were there some of the things about yourself that you saw either as windows or even mirrors in working with people like that?
Yeah, that's, you know, I felt, I guess the, yes to the answer, windows and mirrors, both of those,
both of them, right?
Both of those. But I would say the mirror back to shared values was, look, you know, Hillary Clinton said it best, you know, human rights are women's rights, women's rights are human rights. And that really resonated with me. You know, Kamala, our vice president, is, you know, she, you know, people always say, oh, you know, she made history when she became vice president, but she's been making history forever, right? She was the first female, first woman of color attorney general for the state of California. So what I would say is that working with those kind of women motivates me. It shows me what's possible and it shows me to keep working hard and to support them. It's an honor.
Yeah. Have you, because it motivates you so much, does it at all in thinking about their pathways, their blueprints, if you will, and because there oftentimes is not a blueprint for someone in a space,
right?
As it motivates you, you know, differently, does it at all change your kind of like thinking in ways? Like working with them, did it at all sort of say, boy, I really need to do things differently in a way? Or did it more just sort of modify the things you were already doing?
You know, one thing that really stuck out to me that's in common with everyone that I've, you know, from a Hillary to a Kamala to any of this, is the ability to take risk, right? Nothing happens being comfortable.
Yeah.
You have to put yourself out there.
Sure.
Whether you're running for office, whether you're starting a business, whether you're, I don't know, whether you're making new friends, whatever it is, you have to put yourself out there. And so I think nothing happens without risk. That's the common theme.
Did you learn how to make mistakes from them?
From them, I think I've just kind of learned trial and error. It's an iterative process. I think anyone, right? In my own life, you know, from my friends, from everyone close to me.
Yeah.
It's a, look, having spent 22 years in Silicon Valley, you know, making mistakes is a badge of honor.
Right.
You learn.
Right.
You
right.
learn from that. And that's a great thing.
It's almost like, you know, watching how leaders, in fact, grapple with risk and also the loss is just as much of an art perhaps as how they succeed and when they, how do they deal with sort of professional wins.
That's right. And here's the thing I would tell you is that you can't always rest on a win and you have to recover from a loss and move on. You can only ruminate so much.
Sure Hopefully not too much rumination, if anything.
Or
translating from rumination more to reflection
and learning, you know, learn lessons. Right, like what were the learnings from this? That's what, you know, we talk about at our firm, or, you know, if a company does well or it doesn't do well, and, you know, what were the learnings from this? And you always want to keep those in mind.
We talk about entrepreneurship and sort of building a lot, and those two sort of go together, growth, building, entrepreneurship. But you've also devoted so much energy to giving and service and building networks through both the Shatter Foundation and Shatter Connect. How do you, in a world where there's so much change and so much capital that's needed, how do you actually prioritize that giving, that service, that spirit of building networks for others?
Yeah.
You know, we don't oftentimes, you know, equate entrepreneurs as givers.
Right.
And yet there's so much of that that you do. So in that kind of framework, how do you prioritize where you devote your energy and your time and your capital?
Yeah, that's interesting. I think, you know, for me, for us, for my family, giving in public service is a mindset and it's a way of life.
Yeah.
Right. So when I started Shatter, like when I was, you know, doing the political stuff, it's all volunteer, but it's a way of giving back.
Right.
I don't want to run for office, but I want to support the people I care about.
Yeah.
Then when I started Shatter Fund, it's a returns driven fund.
Yeah.
But it's not complete without the nonprofit. And so therefore I launched the Shatter Foundation.
Sure.
And, you know, building that pipeline of young girls, we focus on high school girls. Mm-hmm. We focus on high school girls and we, you know, we talk about, you know, starting that pipeline early. Well, we want to start early.
Yeah.
We want to take entrepreneurship education to them in high school, then in college.
Yeah.
And so that's just really the other part of everything we do.
Yeah.
It was like a no-brainer, have to do that.
Did you ever consider running for office?
No, it's not for me.
Yeah.
So no, I'm, you know, much better supporting these amazing people that are running.
Sure, sure.
Tim Kaine, Mark Warner, Kamala Harris, Hillary Clinton, you name it. So.
Get behind them.
Yeah, I mean, just support them.
Yeah, yeah. Around them, I guess.
Around them, support them.
Front or behind.
Back to shared values, align with them, and do your part.
And is that pipeline gap that you mentioned, is that the most critical area of need, particularly when thinking about the innovation economy and women?
The pipeline is there, but it's really that lack of education.
Yeah, not the substrate, maybe.
Yeah, and so what our program does is, you know, we teach young girls what is entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
They don't even know sometimes. You can be a doctor, you can be a lawyer, you can be anyone from anywhere, and you can have an idea and you can become an entrepreneur.
Sure.
But we teach it to them in a very sticky way.
Yeah.
Right? In a way that's going to stay with them when they go to college and it's not, you know, it's not a heavy lift, but they're thinking about it.
Yeah.
So that's how we want to build that pipeline.
I asked Indra Nui this, and she had a lovely way of like speaking about this in how, of course, and I'll ask it here. I mean, what's the allyship and the synchrony in building those ladders that I just mentioned, that we just talked about, that's actually critically needed for men in this space? And, you know, particularly men who are in positions of power.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think, you know, our fund wrote a paper on male allyship.
Yeah.
And so, you know, really supporting women and helping women become part of the innovation economy, it's just as much a man's responsibility as it is, you know, all the women coming together to do that. And you know, men are still writing the biggest checks to entrepreneurs. They are still controlling the checkbooks, and that's fine. But without male support, we can't make those leaps and strides that we want to make. So it's super critical. And it's also really important to the bottom line of a firm, to the success of retention, employee retention. Costs more to let go of an employee than and have a bad hire. Why would you do that? So that retention, development of employees, it behooves everyone.
Do you see this at the policy or the board level now being written into, in some ways, either overtly or even kind of in a backdrop way, more into policy and strategy?
To have male allies, you mean?
Both male allies and sort of like males who are like, you know what? I need to be replaced by more women.
I don't know that it'll be policy. I don't know. That might be.
I think
strategy is a better way to go. I think, but it's also a mindset, right? Like at our firm, at Sway, we're really focused on bringing on women partners.
Yeah.
And, you know, because there's a recognition that is where the value is. And you can't script that.
Yeah.
And I think that needs to be a mindset.
True.
And it's a cultural part of a company, right? Of an organization.
Yeah. It's almost that sort of like undertone. And the culture, I think, piece is so, if you can develop that vibrantly, that actually makes a big, big difference.
But it does start at the top. Leadership does start at the top. And, you know, you need to have someone at the helm of any firm who believes in that.
You're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. After a quick break, let's come back to our conversation with Shelley Kapoor Collins. Every story told is a lesson learned, and every lesson learned is a story waiting to be told. I'm Abhay Dandekar, and I share conversations with global Indians and South Asians so everyone can say, trust me, I know what I'm doing. New episodes weekly, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Sigda Swara, the founder and CEO of The Juggernaut, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing.
Hi there, I'm Abhay Dandekar, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. Let's rejoin our conversation with venture capitalist and entrepreneur, Shelly Kapoor Collins.
I loved that in January you helped steward this Shatter Summit.
Mm-hmm.
That was just, you know, something that I found so amazing to read and learn about. What lessons in, and from that experience, but then it also sort of like your, the kind of narrative that you've built now over so many years. What lessons do we need to learn from women who are global change makers, being global citizens? What are we learning from them? You know, especially those who are idea rich and have, you know, just that innovative spirit. What are some of those lessons that for perhaps you took away from that experience, but also are ongoing?
So, you know, when our foundation partnered with the State Department to host the Shatter Summit at State, and, you know, I'm an honorary friend of the U.S.-India partnership within State, which is great. And what really resonated with me was they said, you know, we want to do this summit. And it's for India, and it's for helping women entrepreneurs there connect here. And that really struck a chord with me. Just, you know, being able to give back to, you know, where I was born was pretty neat. So birth country, right? So having said that, you know, what we learned, we had Nirithi Rai speak. Yeah. We had Sumitri Irani, you know, people from the Modi administration. So, you know, what was really cool was that all of these women, as global change makers, they wanted to share their expertise with their counterparts here. They want to connect.
Yeah.
And that's why we launched Shatter Connect,
right,
to give them a platform, not that they need our platform, but to really kind of hone in and be deliberate about how they in India can connect with counterparts in the US.
Almost like an intentional exchange.
Very much so. Yeah. Very much so. And if you're not deliberate about it, it's not going to happen. So,
you
know, the pathways are very similar.
Yeah.
Experiences are similar. I would say that what we learned is we're more alike than we are apart, but we really need to come together to solve the issues that, you know, women need to start companies.
Are there, you know, sort of that lock and key moments that you find that like, hey, just literally making the network connection or finding sort of people who are comfortably uncomfortable with their work, but now you see similar faces and you see women who are doing similar things. Have you seen that that synergy has actually activated and now blossoming and having more tangible results?
I really feel like that is happening now. And, you know, not just in the US, in India. I was just in Europe recently. I was there in Paris for several things, but including the Cartier Women's Initiative. And it was really tremendous to see women from all over the globe come together to support these social impact entrepreneurs and to learn about them and to find a way to invest in them and to support them.
And, you know, this is not necessarily a gender-based thing, but, you know, when you're in that phase where you have a wonderful idea and you're looking for, you know, networking and almost the capital to build and take that innovation to scale, can that be a pretty lonely position to be in?
You know, I think entrepreneurship is lonely.
Yeah.
Entrepreneurship is lonely. You know, venture capital, especially if you're starting off.
Yeah.
Like I said, starting the fund was the hardest thing I've done.
Right.
It is lonely, sure, but it takes perseverance, grit. It's not for everyone, and it's definitely not for the faint of heart.
Yeah.
Because it also takes your own capital, your personal capital, your social capital, your relationship capital. So you have to be willing, just like in anything, to sacrifice up front.
Did that take a little bit of patience for you to learn that?
Yes, it did. It took a lot of patience. And, you know, look, there were times where I was like, you know what, maybe I just stop.
Right. Yeah.
And my mother was really instrumental. She said, no, you can't stop now. Mm. She said, you have to keep going because you come so far.
Yeah.
She's like, no, now you just keep going. Don't worry.
Yeah. Right. Keep paddling.
Keep paddling. Yeah, seriously. And she's my biggest champion. So
it seems like there's sort of a constant battleground, right? Especially, you know, for those who are marginalized, who are vulnerable. in thinking about the summit, in thinking about this whole idea of patience and keeping, you know, stay grounded, keep paddling, are there signals that personally, in thinking about this community and thinking about the work that you do, are there signals that offer you personally a lot of hope and optimism that it's getting less lonely? It's getting easier, perhaps, to, you know, start that process?
Yeah, I think our generation is different.
Yeah.
You know, like when our parents came here, it was about survival.
Yeah.
And it was very, you know, everything was kept very closed.
Yeah.
And now our generation is thinking like, you know, like we should be. I open up my network to my friends and their kids, get them internships, to connect them where they need to go, because we have the capacity to do that. Why wouldn't we do that?
Right.
So I think in that way, it's changed a lot. And people are working together, and we want to bring more women into the fold.
Do you find that it's just easier to share? Like that mindset has maybe kind of the barriers, you know, have dropped, or they're going away. I can't say that they've completely dropped, but it seems easier to share. And does that just come naturally with maturity and development? Or is it still tough when you're starting out to say like, you know, look, I'm going to open up and I'm going to have that same kind of vulnerability in a sense?
I find it's easier to be open.
Yeah.
And just, you know, it's less pressure. It's just, you know, so less weight on you.
Yeah.
To just be open and to share. And I think once you have that mindset, it applies to everything.
I wonder if that's relatively liberating, you know, that
it is,
you know, like you sort of like this weight is off your shoulder that it's, I'm okay with that.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I think that's a really good way of putting it.
Yeah. I was thinking about the girl or the woman out there who's perhaps exploring this space and that intersection of tech and innovation and policy and investment for the very first time. They're literally at the beginning of, at the starting line of this. What's your message to them in reflecting on your own experiences and journey in thinking about two things, something that they should pursue or digest more of, and then equally something that they should intentionally avoid?
Oh, yeah, that's really good. To start backwards, avoid anyone who tells you not to do something.
Yeah.
Avoid anyone who says it can't be done.
Yeah.
Avoid anyone who is deterring you from what you want to do. Because I had plenty of those along the way.
Yeah.
Starting a fund is so hard. Why are you even doing this? Why would you do that? Oh, you're going to lose all your money. So many different things. But I was pretty focused and determined that this is where I want to be. And then in terms of what to do, you know, tiptoe in.
Yeah.
If you can't jump right in, that's okay. You know, I started off with angel investing. I loved it. And then I was mentoring women and I was advising them on how to start businesses. And I found that empowering to them. Seeing their success made me feel good. So find your passion. I think that's really important. Yeah. But then stick with it.
Where does collaboration and community then fold into either of those things? But both avoiding the naysayers and then also gravitating towards the tiptoeing and measuring your risk and understanding in some ways kind of reflecting on who you are first and then diving in.
That's a really big question also. That's a really big question. I'm not sure. I think, you know, it's like you said earlier, it's an art. It's not a science.
Yeah.
And so you'll know, like along the way, I've met amazing women who have been just there to, you know, just kind of bring me up and open the door. And, you know, and then there have been women who have been gatekeepers. And so one thing I would say is that, you know, women have to be door openers, not gatekeepers for each other. I think that's really important. You'll learn how not to be from some women or men.
Sure.
And in other cases, you'll learn that's exactly what I want to emulate. So.
Well, Shelly, it's amazing to learn more about your work, even just to share a nice conversation like this.
Yes.
I hope we can do this again sometime. Thank you so much for all you're doing.
Thank you for having me on. And thank you for all the great work you're doing. I love this.
Thanks so much, Shelly. And again, let's find our way to empower girls and women in every field by mentoring, listening, inspiring, educating, and funding. Till next time, I'm Abhay Dandekar.